something. She actually guessed his alcoholism like 3 years before anyone else did. Like how that came out a couple years ago when he was like just wasted at, like every night at like all these different bars in New York, like singing with people. And then he would come on the next day and have like broken fingers or like bruises from clearly like a hard night out drinking. And then my mom, like, even before those came out, she's like, I just think he has a really bad drinking problem. Like, there's just something that, like, I'm worried about him. And then someone mentioned, and I was like, oh, my God, you sound like my mom. Like, she's the only person that's been, like, this Jimmy Fallon drinking conspiracy. But she was right.
Yeah. People started to tell me that, and I used to watch him, like, every night.
He was always my least favorite of the late night hosts. I really loved Colbert, and I love James Corden. Like, people hate on him, but I think James Corden is ridiculously talented.
Is he the one that... No. It is James Corden that's in, like, theater stuff.
Yeah. He's a Broadway guy. Or, like, a West End London guy, but Broadway.
Yeah, I don't really... Sorry, I'm looking down. I don't really like him that much, and I don't like... You said Colbert?
Yeah, Colbert.
I don't like him either, and I don't like Conan. I like Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, for sure.
I love Seth Meyers. Jimmy Fallon doesn't do it for me. He's too, like, common denominator, like... Oh, I'm not gonna have an opinion because, like, what if that hurts someone's feelings? Like, that hurt my viewership. And, like, when there was, like, the political, like, all the political stuff going on before Biden was president, like, the dark days, like, he's always had the weakest, like, least topical of the shows, or, like, would, like, do, like,
he would shit on Trump, though, but I don't know about, like, policies or
anything. Yeah, like, he didn't focus on politics like the other shows did, which also got kind of old at some point. But, like, when I worked at CCO, I'd always watch, like, that we had, like, this thing where you could go back to, like, any TV program in the last 10 years and watch it. I used that thing a lot. It was so much fun. That was, like, on, like, regular TV. So I'd always go for the night. Like, I would catch up on, the late nights that happened the night before, obviously. And I, like, a couple months in, I stopped watching it because I was able to do, like, their monologues for them. Like, you kind of figure out the formula of, like, where it's going so you can, like, figure out what the punchline is.
Yeah.
And, like, Colbert's were a little easier because he has very, like, they're still really clever, but they're, like, formulae where I could, like, figure out the punchline based on, like, who he was talking about. Yeah. And then same with Corden's. Like, they were always very much the same. But it's, like, there's only so much news out there and, like, topical things where, like, yeah, you're going to have the same jokes everywhere.
Yeah, I think you had talked about that.
Oh, yeah, we did. Good callback. I forgot that I did that episode.
Am I too quiet? Sorry.
You're kind of quiet, but what are we going to do about it?
Okay.
I just apologize for advance. This is going to be a bad episode. I've been saying that all week, so you'd think I'd been like, oh no, I hit a breakthrough, but sometimes it's just good to leave your dog, so then they're so excited when you get back. You know what I mean?
Like, that's how the cat is for us. It's like you leave for the week and you come back and she's so...
Oh, so we should do an update on the Gabby Petito case. So the autopsy results are still being withheld, but can we talk about the dog, the bounty hunter, being way closer to Brian Laundrie than the FBI and all the police are?
I don't even understand it. I just see him on, like, I kind of stopped reading headlines, I stopped reading articles, but I see him on all the headlines and everything, and it's always, like, dog, the bounty hunter, and I'm like, what is this? The wild, wild west, like.
He's filming every step of it, too, and, like, actively shopping, like, hey, if I catch him, do you guys want this? For a show.
That's, oh yeah, I was just gonna say that's definitely gonna be an
effect. Yeah. Oh yeah, he has cameras with him. He's somewhere, I think it's the Florida Keys or like outside of like somewhere in the ocean. He's on some set of islands and he has like dogs got a bounty dog out there and they're searching for him.
Interesting. Wait, where does he think Brian is?
It's, I can look it up real quick. But it's somewhere around like the ocean where he thinks he's on like a set of islands. I forget what they're called.
Oh, that's it.
He's somewhere on a tropical island. I need better than tropical island.
Didn't the family, like, actually go camping with him, too, at some point? So they like,
yeah, so
for sure.
Dog the Bounty Hunter was, I guess, able to track them to a campground somewhere in Florida where the family went camping. And then the person, like, checking them in, so, like, the campground host saw three people traveling in the truck into the campground, but only two left. And it was, like, an oceanside campground.
Wow. So how are the parents not arrested right now?
I know. It is ridiculous how far they're letting this go. But yeah, I've been very much enjoying the Dog the Bounty Hunter tweets.
So random. Did you see them making a Tiger King too?
About what? He's in jail.
Dude, I know, and I'm like, they're all famous now, so they're gonna be like, you know, like feeding into the cameras and everything. Like, it's not like the first time where they weren't really aware at how big this was gonna be.
Ridiculous. I know, I listened to that podcast, like, years ago, and I remember being like, damn, that's crazy, and then it, like, became, like, this huge thing, so I'd be, like, I was like, yeah, I know the story, and then I watched the documentary, and I was like, okay, so nothing new, like, he's still, like, The podcast at least, like, I think focused more on, like, him trying to kill her, like, putting out the hit on Carol.
Yeah. But, well, season two is going to follow Kara Baskin and Joe, but I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, really. Like, they're going to have to start drama, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, like, he's been in jail for however long now, and so, like, what is possibly season two going to be about? But, hey. Although, like, also, like, that was so long ago that we were all into that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, like, I think everyone was really obsessed with it, but then when, like, a month or two passed, we were like, okay, that was actually bad television. We were just all real bored.
We were all just enthralled. And so, yeah, because like, I don't even think they've released any of the shows that they've been making that they keep promising and then changing out the cast for. Wait, you said you watched Kim's Convenience, right? I just finished it today.
Yeah. Did you always watch it or did you just burn through
it? I just started it, like, the other day. I mean,
it's pretty easy to burn through. Yeah, so I watched it when I was in my old apartment. So, like, a year and a half ago. And then they put on the new season recently. Or not that recently, but, like, in the last year or so. So, yeah, I watched all of it. I like it. I mean, I think it's supposed to be funnier or, like, they think that it's funnier than it is. But, like, really, I just liked how it was, like, a feel-good, like, it was so, like, innocent, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah, my dad started watching. He's like, it's just all in the family. Like, he's just Archie Bunker. Like, he's wrong, but he has enough people around him to, like, correct him, so then it's fun. But I liked it because I feel like it's, like, it's just good old-fashioned race jokes that you don't get all that often anymore. And so, like, that's what I liked for it. Like, I kept getting a kick out of those.
Yeah, and it's, like, there's not a lot of, like, Asian people on TV, so it's not, like, I don't know. It was just interesting, like, some of the jokes that they did make about, like, culture or, like, anything. Like their culture and stuff, or like having Asian parents, like pretty funny. And their I love their dad and their mom.
Yeah, the mom and dad were up my app. Anytime that they were like doing something, like their sneak attacks, like anytime they said that, it cracked me up. Yeah. And then like the episode where they were like selling the cream to like the Korean choir, that episode cracked me up.
Yeah, I like that episode too, and I like Janet too. Actually, I like them all. And
Simu Liu, he's super famous now from Shang-Chi. Yes, I loved that movie, the Marvel movie. It was super good. And I was like, he's attractive, isn't he, in that one show? So that's why I started watching it, was for him.
Does it have to do with Doctor Strange?
It ties in a little bit. Like, there's a character sharing, and, like, it ties into the Marvel Universe pretty well, but not super heavily Doctor Strange. Okay. Like, it's very standalone-ish, but it ties in.
It just looked like it was similar, the special effects, I should say. But yeah, so he got that movie, and I always thought he was really hot, and I was like, oh, wow, now he's, like, making it big. Now hopefully Janet does, too.
I really liked her. All right, so as promised, this week we are covering Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women, which is a huge conversation that's been surrounding the Gabby Petito case, is all the attention that she's been getting. It's not, like, casting any light that's been on these thousands of missing women from around the country.
I was just going to, like, open up with, it is very hard to find stories like about Indigenous women that are similar to Gabby Petito that have as much coverage. So people aren't talking about it as much. So the news isn't covering it as much, obviously. So there's not really anything that spells out a crazy story that is entertaining as much, I guess. So it's going to be like a bunch of smaller stories, right?
Yeah, like a lot of statistics. Because, yeah, exactly. You said exactly what I was about to say, which is, like, I wish I had more of, like, this woman went missing. Here's what happened. Here's how we can find her. Like, what we can do to, like, where she might be. But there was literally none of that. I think I Googled every single variation of, like, missing Indigenous women, murdered and missing stories, anything you could think of to, like, try to figure out, like, how to find, like, actual names, where they went missing, where they might be, or, like, solutions, not even solutions, but, like, closures to the story, or, like, just, like, or what we could do. I found nothing.
Or even a story in general, but, like, I looked, too, and I could find a couple stories where it would, like, describe how they found their body, but not what happened, and then, or, like, it was just, like, two paragraphs written about it, and then there wasn't really much more, so it's, like, I don't know, like, it's hard to, like, construct a story about all that with, you know what I mean? For a podcast episode.
Yeah, it's hard to raise awareness like we do in a lot of these other cases or talk about it when there just is nothing written and no, like, database for this kind of thing.
Yeah, which I get is why people are frustrated. But it's kind of like a self, or like, I don't know, it's like a loop. It's like people are frustrated about it, but then you can't really do anything or like bring awareness because there isn't like any information to bring awareness about besides like statistics. There's no like real life examples, or they exist, but they're not covered.
And that being said, if you have some that you would like us to share, like stories that you relate to or you have heard of, please send this to us either at Instagram at Wild and Vile Case File Files WCW. Oh my God, I said that and then put the letters in my head, but I lost them.
Oh, sorry, you just kind of like.
WVCFF. Wild Vile Case File Files. Wild Vile Case File Files. Yes, find us. Send us.
W. Wait. I need to look into it. Whenever people ask what the podcast name is, I'm like, just search Wild and File. So, okay. Do you want to get into it, or do you have any stories you'd like to share?
So we can just get into it. So, like I said, there's not a ton of stories, but I did was able to compile a couple of them, and did just kind of want to share a big chunk of what this Guardian article, which is ironic because I believe Guardian is a British newspaper or like news entity, and so it's not even like an American, which is like all the articles I found about missing and murdered Indigenous women were saying that like how hard or like how scarce information is. I was like, yes. Share with me a story of like Minnesota, like, because I wanted to focus it on like Minnesota missing women,
Oh yeah,
Indigenous women,
similar.
but like I got nothing. I got nada.
I did see the, and maybe you're gonna cover this, but I saw that they had opened like a resource center for this in Minnesota, and it was like a pilot for like a bunch of other ones that were gonna be open, but Minnesota was the first one.
Yeah,
That's
so we
kind of
can start there
cool.
actually. So on July 1st, as part of Minnesota's COVID relief recovery budget, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office was confirmed to be established in St. Paul, Minnesota. And so they were given a couple million dollars in money and able to start building a database, looking into these crimes and kind of building a task force. As well as, did you know that Donald Trump actually signed something into office or signed something into law while he was in office, giving a huge amount of money to the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women cause? I did not know that, and I feel like that got very little press when that happened because
So
I
he
had
did
not heard.
something good.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wait, he did
Wow.
that? Like, I feel like he did not get credit for that because that's actually super awesome.
His dumb ass probably just like signed a piece of paper like that. Somebody was just like trying to push. They're like, and here's this.
So, just some statistics that I saw or like read through my hours and hours of research on this is that in any given month from 2012 to 2020, 27 to 54 Native American women went missing in Minnesota alone.
Minnesota? Oh wow,
Yeah.
that's great.
Native American women and girls are targeted at rates far greater than other American women. They are 10 times more likely to be murdered in their lifetime.
I also heard that, and this is really hard to put the numbers since it doesn't sound that crazy, but they are 0.4 of the population, but 0.7 among missing people, which is it's a big jump for when you
I think
really
I
like
saw
put those
something
numbers.
similar, but like it was just like a little bit higher where they make up like 3% of the population, but make up like 21% of
Yeah, and then
murdered
when I was saying that
missing.
could be a specific state, I
And
guess.
like there's a lot where like they've come from reservations and they have reservation police. So like there's only like maybe a couple of people on that force, maybe at the most like 5 to 6 people, like men or women, who
Yes,
like
I
don't have the
also.
resources and they don't really have like the power to reach out to these greater areas. So like if they disappear in like a small area in the reservation, Wyoming, they don't have the ability to reach out to like Jackson Hole police or the FBI.
Well, one, some of these reservations are fucking massive.
Yeah.
Like, I read one about this girl who had gone missing, and her sister still looks for her, like, all the time, and it's been, like, a really long time. And they were talking about, like, the amount of square miles on this reservation. I was like, oh my God, like, one person looking, that's, like, literally insane. Like, it was huge. I can't remember the number, but it was fucking massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another thing I read too, is that there's, like, so many interdepartment policing. So like there's like the state police and then like the federal government and then yeah the tribal police, which are like an actual police force, but the tribal people or people in the tribe. And so, and I guess they also like there's a distrust among Native Americans with the regular police, so like they either don't properly report it or it doesn't get properly reported by the police that they do tell. So it's like a double-edged, it's not a double-edged sword, but yeah, it's like a, yeah, it's a two-way thing on that, which is like, I mean, it's not that weird for Native American people not to trust cops because the only people that do trust cops as a majority are white people every other week. It's like overwhelmingly like
people. And even as white people.
Yeah, even white people, it's like, yeah, even white people, it's like 58% think that cops trust them. And then for black people, it's like 27%.
That's insane. Yeah. For someone that's there literally to protect and serve and be trusted, it is, yeah, there is a huge problem in this country.
Yeah.
And we're going to solve it right now.
On this podcast.
Yep.
Please welcome on our next guest, Joe Biden.
But one thing I did read, which I found very interesting, is about like the dangers of the oil industry to the Native American population. And I did read one story about a group or two sisters that were walking around in North Dakota, and they were picked up by a group of oil workers and then never seen again. And so yes. I think that plays a huge part into it, where these men are coming around from like different parts of the country, have an influx of cash for working for like. However long you work in oil fields, who knows what that job entails. I just assume you're gross and sticky. Or, like, is oil sticky or is it slippery? Like, what is the consistency of these men? Oh, it's
definitely slippery. But, yes, we must have read the same article because I heard that, too. And I do think, I don't want to say, like, they're gross workers, but, yeah, I think they're, like, it's kind of like a mining job where it's, like, you get it down dirty.
Yeah.
But I think they do make really good money.
Yeah, where, yeah, it becomes a lifestyle, like, you're out there, like, you live and work, and then you're out there and, like, just, like, trolling for women. And yes. So, like, yeah, I think that's what might happen to a lot of these girls that go missing.
Definitely, and I guess I read, too, that, like, the LGBT community goes, like, missing at, like, disproportional rates for Native Americans, too.
Yeah, I read one story in particular. It was, like, one of the only ones I actually saw a full case study on, or, like, a case on, of a transgender woman that went missing from one of the tribes and had been like kind of like boosted out of her tribe, so she had been like a little bit in those streets and like on like just like floating around, but then has been missing for like 10 years now.
Yeah, or like a lot of them are, well, I don't know about, maybe that's not a fact, but a lot of the ones that I read weren't even just missing people, they were like just straight up murdered.
Yeah,
with like no idea.
Okay, so that sounds kind of similar to the case of Sherry Ann Wounded, who was it from the Porcupine Pine Ridge Reservation. And she was 50 years old, and she was found beat unconscious outside of a building in White Clay, Nebraska in August 2016. And she died a couple weeks later of her blunt force trauma wound. So she had been in the like hospital for weeks and then later died. And she was found in the exact spot that her brothers had actually been beaten to death as well.
That sounds like, that's personal.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone had gone after the entire family. But even that, where I'm like, wait, so there were all, like three people murdered in this entire family, and this is all the story that I could find on Sherry Ann Wounded. Like, that is the extent of the information that I have on this case.
Yeah, and like, it's like domestic abuse is like very common, drug abuse is very common, which is.
Yeah, but her case was actually one of the ones that, like, they used to like, get rid of alcohol on reservations in Nebraska. Which I think is actually a thing in like a lot of reservations, because I know that's in Minnesota, too, where they're dry reservations.
Yeah.
Where they don't sell alcohol or anything. Have you seen the show Reservation Dogs on FX and Hulu?
No. Is it about Native Americans?
Yes. Probably one of the only shows ever, like, about Native Americans. And it is hilarious. It is so good. And it has just finished its complete season, so you can catch it on Hulu. But I 10 out of 10 recommend Reservation Dogs.
Okay, for some reason I had heard that title before, but I never connected to being like about it.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. It's Taika Waititi, who did like Thor Ragnarok, Jojo Rabbit, What We Do in the Shadows. So he's a really good director, super funny, and he was the executive producer and helped write a couple of the episodes. And you see him, like his sense of humor and his like filmmaking in the entire show.
Yeah.
So Jojo I Rabbit, very much recommend. Movie? Say that again?
Is Jojo Rabbit a horror movie?
No. It's like a comedy drama. It's about a little kid growing up in Germany in the 1940s and his imagination, what do you call it when you have a friend that's imaginary? Imaginary friend is Adolf Hitler. It's hilarious.
Answer your own question.
Yeah, I said, what do you call a friend that's imaginary? Oh, an imaginary friend. So honestly, what I found is Canada has their shit on lock when it comes to missing women, and especially missing Indigenous women. There were a lot of Canada cases, but I didn't write those down because we're in America.
Wait, they have the shit on lock, like they're figuring it out, or like they also have issues?
They just said, well, they have issues, like there are a ton of missing Indigenous women in Canada, but they have resources and stories of these women, but I didn't use them since we're in America.
But it's also a big problem there, from what I read, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they also had, like, I know it's common, but didn't they find that school that was, like, on top of, like, a straight-up Indian burial ground with, like, a bunch of dead kids, like, 500?
No, I did not read that.
No, that definitely happened. Let me Google it. Okay, if we get big enough in our podcast, can we please hire Kyle to be our official Googler?
Yes. I would love to hire, like, just, like, an actual producer, too. Or, like, someone to do, like, the research for us. Although, I don't mind the research, but in this case, I did, because it was very hard. And I did, clearly, cool as you're, like, everyone that's listening can tell, I did not really formulate a story on this.
It'd be cool to have, like, a...